Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 7, Chapter 5, Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, Text 19. Tata evam gurur gyatva gyata gyaya chatushtayam daityendram darshayam asa Matrim Rishtam Alankritam Tata thereafter Enam Him Prahlad Maharaj Guru His teachers Gyatva Knowing Gyata Known Gyaya Which are to be known? Chatushtayam, the four diplomatic principles. Sama, the process of pacifying. Dana, the process of giving money in charity. Beda, the principle of dividing. And Danda, the principle of punishment. Daitya Indram unto Hiranyakashipu, the king of the Daityas. Darshayam Asa presented Maitri Mrishtam being bathed by his mother. Alankritam decorated with ornaments. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. After some time, the teachers Shanda and Amarka thought that Prahlad Maharaj was sufficiently educated in the diplomatic affairs of pacifying public leaders, appeasing them by giving them lucrative posts, dividing and ruling over them, and punishing them in case of disobedience. Then one day, after Prahlad's mother had personally washed the boy and dressed him nicely with sufficient ornaments, they presented him before his father. Purport. It is essential for a student who is going to be a ruler or a king to learn the four diplomatic principles. There is always rivalry between a king and his citizens. Therefore, when a citizen agitates the public against the king, the duty of the king is to call him and to try to pacify him with sweet words, saying, "You are very important in the state. Why should you disturb the public with some new cause for agitation?" The citizen is not pacified. The king should then offer him some lucrative post as a governor or a minister, any post that draws a high salary, so that he may be agreeable. If the enemy still goes on agitating the public, the king should try to create dissension in the enemy's camp. But if he still continues, the king should employ argumentum ad baculum, severe punishment, by putting him in jail or placing him before a firing squad. The teachers appointed by Hiranyakashipu taught Prahlad how to be a diplomat so he could rule over the citizens very nicely. Tata'enam gurur gyatva gyata gyaya chatushtayam daityendram darshayam asa maitri mrishtam alankritam. After some time, the teachers taught Sunda and Amarka that Prahlad Maharaj was sufficiently educated in the diplomatic affairs of pacifying public leaders, appeasing them by giving them lucrative posts, dividing and ruling over them, and punishing them in the case of disobedience. Then one day, after Prahlad's mother had personally washed the boy and dressed him nicely with sufficient ornaments, they presented him before his father. Vedic culture was expert in many different ways, including how to administer the state. It wasn't that one got elected by a certain number of votes, just like in India. Sometimes a politician runs for office, And he gives everyone 10 rupees if they vote to him. Maybe it's a little bit more nowadays. And therefore, he gets elected not by his qualifications, but by bribes. But previously, to become a king, one had to go to Gurukul and study under the expert guidance of a teacher who would teach one things such as explained here. How to rule by, first of all, there's sweet words. But I don't think that's even the Sanskrit for sweet words is not included in here. There's sama, the process of pacifying. So I guess that's the cheapest way of getting. Just sama, try to pass. If that doesn't work, then dana, giving money, and then giving money is a little bit more expensive. And beta, process of dividing, that's also pretty cheap sometimes. And then danda, that's the cheapest. Hit them over the head with a club and that's it. Modern society, there's no such thing as sama, usually, or what to speak of, dana, of course bribes are given, that's quite common. Danda is the most common. Beta, of course all these things are employed in modern society. Sama, dana, beta, and danda. But, previously the kings were actually qualified and worked for the benefit of the citizens. Although everyone in anything you do, people will become dissatisfied. Even if you go out in the street and hand out everyone €5 for free, people will call the police and have you arrested for some reason or another. Someone will find dissatisfaction in that. Because that's the nature of the material world. Everyone is envious. Anyone who gets a higher post, automatically someone must become envious. Because ultimately the person who has the highest post, namely Krishna or God, everyone is envious of him. So why would not, if one is envious of the Supreme, then why wouldn't one be envious of everyone and everything connected with the Supreme? So, idam te guyatama pravaksham anasuyave. A Bhagavad Gita is meant for Arjuna and his qualification was that he was anasuyave. He was not envious of Krishna. Idam te guyatamam pravaksham anasuyave. Anasuyave means he was not envious. Jnana vijnanam sahitam. If one is not envious, one can actually hear. Because the philosophy is supposed to help us become non-envious. So if one is determined to be envious, then there's no possibility of understanding the philosophy. If the idea is to become non-envious by becoming a servant to Krishna, and one is determined to stay envious, then how is it possible to learn the philosophy? Now, everyone is envious of Krishna for three reasons. Three principal reasons. Namely, that Krishna owns everything. So, it's hard to compete. If you want to become a big controller, a big proprietor, it's very hard to compete against God. Because he owns everything, and there's nothing we can do about it. You can go to court and have him remove his deeds away, and take his certificate away for only the universe, but still he still owns the universe. Similarly, people are envious of Krishna because he's the enjoyer. He's the one, if he's happy, everyone becomes happy, and if we don't try to make him happy, then we're just wasting our time. We'll never become happy. So that seems quite unfair that we eternally were subordinate to someone who is a supreme controller and our only business is to make him happy. But I want to be happy. Why should I make him happy? He's already happy. Why do I have to be put into his service to make him happy? I want to be happy. Why doesn't he let me be happy? Why is he so greedy? So we're enemies of Krishna because we have, if we want to be happy, we have no choice than to serve him. Just like if the finger wants to become satisfied, it has no choice but to feed the stomach. It may study scientifically some alternative. He may get together with the other 9 fingers and make a plan. But they'll always be unsuccessful because it's their position to feed the stomach. Otherwise, they're useless. And Krishna is the only real friend of everyone. He's the real benefactor. Although we may try to take the credit for what Krishna is actually doing, and although we want to be noted as a deliverer of others in one way or another, but actually Krishna is the actual deliverer. He's the one who actually is everyone's friend. And if we're Krishna's friend, then we can be other people's friend also. But without being Krishna's friend, we can't be anyone's friend. We're not even our own friends. So, unless we recognize Krishna as the proprietor, unless we recognize Krishna as the enjoyer, unless we recognize Krishna as everyone's actual friend, then we can't do anything auspicious. Now, in the Vedic culture, as explained here, the kings are supposed to, they have a position of understanding that. If they don't understand that, then they're supposed to be dethroned. Just like every 4 years in America, they elect a president who promises so many things, and by the end of 4 years goes by most of the time. He's done exactly the opposite of what he promised. But because people's memories are so short, therefore they don't really care, because they can't remember exactly what he promised. Although it may be on taped and videoed, you catch him lying 100 times, and people think, well, you know, it's, if I was in his position, I'd lie 101 times. So people don't really care. They don't really care that they want to be cheated. They want to be lied to. Because if they found out reality, they find out that actually they're not the enjoyers, they're not the proprietors, they're not the deliverers of anyone. Like in America, they had this song, "This land is my land, this land is your land. This land is no one's land. It's Krishna's land." And even in between Krishna and the person who's singing the song, there's 1 million other people claiming the land, except for him. He doesn't even own his apartment he lives in. He's just struggling to pay the rent, if he could do that anymore. Or he's living on the street, and still he thinks, "I'm America, this is my land." And they're afraid someone else is going to take over their land. They don't own anything. But still they're afraid someone's going to come and take their land away from them. So because any ruler, even if he's qualified, will always be surrounded by persons who are envious of the ruler. Therefore, there is a science in the Vedic culture how to pacify the citizen, beginning with, say, saying something nice. Generally speaking, sometimes that works. People just want to be recognized. And usually it doesn't work so well, because it doesn't matter how much you glorify someone, they're still envious. And therefore the next stage is to try to give them, it says here, dana, a high post or some lucrative post, so that that's what they really want. They want some, not only recognition, they want some power to exploit the material nature. And if that doesn't work, then of course, then there's beta. You try to sow dissension. Generally nowadays that means you give everyone a bribe except for that person, and then they turn on him. It's like typically in any political organization, people make agitation from below, and then there's the leader, and by the time he confronts, leads a revolution, and then he turns around, there's no one there except for him. And then he gets caught, and everyone else, "No, we had nothing to do with it. He forced us to do it." Or if the revolution succeeds, they depose the old guard and they take over and they're worse than the old guard. Although they reclaim equality and freedom and everything else. But that equality means that it's like an animal farm, if you read the book. All the animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than other animals. So that's the material world. Everyone has one ambition, to be the center of attention, the center of other people's lives, and that's going to go on eternally. As long as people are in the material world, there's going to be this intense competition to become the center. And although we may claim that I love you or I'm your friend or whatever, but actually, I love you as long as I can exploit you. You're my friend as long as we can exploit each other, or we can get together and unite to exploit someone else. And therefore, Prahlad was not very much interested in these four different phases of Sama, Dana, Beta, and Danda. Because they're useless. Because ultimately, it's just the same. Even if you pacify the citizen, someone else is going to come along. Therefore, the job of an administrator or a manager or a controller is very much not very desirable in one sense, especially if one is materialist, because all it does is get a whole bunch of problems. For happiness in the material world, what you can get, all you need is a couple of chapatis every day. So, if you have this huge palace and whatever else goes on, just so you can get your two chapatis, it's not very desirable. It's unfortunate. But somehow or another, people work hard to get these positions and struggle to maintain them just so they can get their two chapatis every day. And someone else who's getting two chapatis, they're thinking, well, why this person's living in a big palace, and he has all these servants, his two chapatis must be much better than my two chapatis. So I'm going to work hard and cause all kinds of agitation and whatever so I can get two chapatis in a big palace. Never mind the person, poor ruler, can't go to sleep. He's always in anxiety. He's spending so much time, so much effort just to get the two chapatis. And someone else with no effort is getting them two, just getting a little flour, rolling out the chapatis and cooking them, and that's it. But the nature of the material world is everyone's thinking that someone else is enjoying more than I am. Although everyone is suffering in the material world. For instance, if you have a car, people think you're very fortunate, that I'm the owner of this car. But actually, you're not the owner. You're the servant of the car. You have to go and work to pay for the insurance. You have to work to clean the car. You have to work to make sure your car is protected. No one hits it and runs into it. You have to pay for the gas. You have to pay for the repairs. You have to pay for so many things. You're working. The car is not doing anything for you, practically speaking. But you got to work so hard for the car. And you're driving the car around so you can repair the car. Or brings you to work so you can pay for the car. So one is thinking, I'm very fortunate. I have this car. I'm very fortunate. I have to work in order to maintain this car. Previously, people didn't have a car. But then again, they didn't have grocery stores 30 kilometers away that you had to go to. You just went in back of your yard and picked a few vegetables, and you know, and that was it. But now to get the two vegetables, you got to work so hard. It's the famous story of the Brahmin with the kopins, the underwear. Everyone knows that story, of course. You know that story in Andamai, Radha? Well, I don't want to repeat the same story. But anyhow, we'll tell the story anyhow. There was one Brahmin. He was a very renounced Brahmin. All he had was one pair of kopins, one pair of underwear. And he was quite proud of his renunciation. He could meditate on Krishna the whole day. So one day he was by the bank of the Ganges, and he was washing his underwear and put it on the bank to dry. And he took his bath in the Ganges. When he came out, he noticed his underwear was stolen. That one mouse came along and stole his underwear. So he was very upset. So although he was naked, he had no choice, but he begged from some passerby some underwear, a strip of cloth. But he was very anxiety. Every time he bathed, now he's in anxiety. Maybe the mouse would come back and steal his underwear, the only thing in the world he had. And so he begged a cat. So now he's safe because the cat was protecting the underwear. And he felt relieved and he could bathe peacefully in the Ganges. But then he heard this cat and was going, meow, meow. So he asked one of his friends, what is the cat saying? He said, oh, meow, that means I want some milk. I said, but where am I going to get milk? There's no grocery store. He said, well, I guess you have to get a cow. So he begged a cow. So he looked at the cow, he couldn't figure out what it was because he never saw a cow before. So he inquired, what am I supposed to do? How do you get the milk? He said, well, it's a little technical, so maybe you have to get a wife. So he got a wife who knew how to milk a cow. So now he had a wife, he had a cow, he had a cat, and his underwear was protected. But then the wife wanted some children, so he had to get a house. So now he had a house, a couple of children, and a wife, and a cow and a cat, all to protect his underwear. But in order to pay for the house, which is in mortgage, he had to get a job. But in order to have his job, he had to get a car. But in order to pay for the car, he had to work at night. So now he had two jobs and a car and a wife and two children and a cow and a cat to protect his underwear. But now we realize that this is getting too serious. I can't keep up the payments. You know, I'm going to lose everything. So he decided it's not possible to guard underwear. So he took his underwear off and threw it away and walked away. So that's material life. Everyone is struggling to maintain their existence, and at the end it's not possible to do it anyhow. No matter how expert you are in diplomacy, no matter how much you gain intelligence in the material world to solve your problems, all you're going to get is more and more problems the more you solve. That's the way the material nature works. Prahlad Maharaj will eventually say, he said, I encountered in this material world so many problems, and every time I tried to solve them, I got five more problems instead. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. It seems that Prahlad Maharaj was not very interested in studying the diplomatic science and political science. And then it seems, I don't know, ironic, or that afterwards he was requested by Narasimhadev to go on and rule for the whole Manvantara. Basically, he was ruling the whole universe, as far as I remember from the commentaries.
He's in Sutila.
Now this is the next Manvantara, but the Chakshusha Manvantara, he ended up ruling the whole universe.
Oh yeah, because usually the Manvantaras rule the universe.
Narasimha requested him. It's there. He said, please rule. He said,
good luck.
You please rule. So, did he study on the job, or how did he rule afterwards? Or did he remember? Did he get knowledge from Krishna, from the heart? He didn't study.
I didn't go to school with him, so I don't know. I didn't attend the same school he did, so I don't know. I don't know what the curriculum was. But I don't know. I have idea. I mean, how do you rule over the universe? What's the extra job you have? You know? I don't know.
I have another one. These four principles, are they applicable in ISKCON management? Are you supposed to...
Well, I hope not. Which one you are interested in? Pacifying with sweet words is probably applicable. As far as giving people a high post, I don't think it's advisable. Although sometimes it works like that. You know, people do some service for you and it's understood you're going to recommend them for some high post. And as far as creating divisions, well, we don't have to do that. There's already enough divisions. And as far as danda, well, only the sannyasis carry dandas. And if they hit someone over the head, they might get in trouble. Although that's happened sometimes. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.